Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. This is episode number 6. Featuring Tim Prout from Tiki Boom. In this episode, we explore how to make website design, logo design from client requirements. Let's hear in. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Davinder?
I'm good. I just was on YouTube watching Can It Be Done with Beaver Builder?
Okay.
I actually came to know about you from your video series, Can It Be Done with Beaver Builder? So,
right.
How did that idea come?
So it actually came from kind of the way I learn is seeing someone's process. And I don't know, I lurk a lot on the Beaver Builder forum on Facebook. And I notice there's always simple questions of like, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? And I thought, it would be kind of cool if I exposed myself and how I build websites, but also show the process. So even if you don't do it the same as I do, it might be really important that you learn like, oh, you can do that with CSS? Oh, that's awesome. Okay, I want to do that. So I don't know. I thought I wanted to kind of give back and share a little bit and see if anybody would get help from it.
Okay, we'll talk about Beaver Builder and your current video making and all that stuff, but let's rewind a little. Why don't you give a little introduction, like how you have progressed in this online world and doing what you're doing now?
Sure. Yeah, my name is Tim. So I run a graphic design business called Tiki Boom with my wife, Nikki. We've been doing it the last couple years as our kind of sole business. And before that, I have worked in some design agencies in San Francisco and on this online world. I feel like I'm just, you know, still trying to wait around and figure out how to do it well.
Working with wife, now that sounds tough, man.
So we've definitely been learning a lot of lessons on how to treat each other well. And when I'm done for the day, you know, I close the door to the office and that's it. It's just me and my wife time. So, yeah.
So how do you decide on your work boundaries? Who does what?
Yeah, so that's something that we're constantly learning for sure.
Because this can be a recipe for disaster. Our client is emailed you, oh, you are supposed to reply. No, you were supposed to reply. So how are you managing that part?
So fortunately, as it is right now, my wife is helping me out part-time. So I am basically doing most of the project management and stuff. And I lean heavily on her for advanced illustration when we're doing like, you know, advanced stuff. I think we feel comfortable with each other in our roles. And when she comes on full time, which I hope will be soon, that's when it's going to be like, ooh, how are we going to do this?
I think then it will be real Tiki Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll probably need to get an office and we'll probably need to have boundaries for sure.
Okay. So what kind of services do you provide? Like, website design development, that's like generic. Besides that, I think you provide a lot of specialized design services as well.
Right. Yeah. So our main brand, Tiki Boom, is logo, web, illustration, and print. We have another brand that's wedding invitations. And actually, that's how we started. That's kind of like our superpower, if you will. We do kind of offer a lot of specialized stuff. And I kind of enjoy that because if somebody really wants that kind of service, we're going to do a pretty good job for them.
Okay. Leaving the logo or the design part separately. Now, for example, you contract a client for website design and development, which is the first step that you take in the process. Like in this, you are going to design and develop. So is it the logo or the basic website structure or something else? Which comes the first?
Right. So just to back up a little, we usually use questionnaires to when somebody contacts us, we actually like to front load a lot of the information to figure out what do you really need? Like you could come to us and say, hey, I want a one page website. And then we're going to ask you a lot of questions and figure out, but what do you actually need? So if we, you know, we develop a scope and we figure out, hey, you need a logo and you need a website, great, let's roll. We usually develop the logo first.
Okay.
Before we.
What tool do you use for collecting this information? Like,
So we use, we've set up Gravity Forms, and we will send them to a specialized page that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gravity Forms, you can save, you can, we encourage a client to really take their time. Because we value authentic and good information. It helps us.
Okay, so what all information do you collect to get an idea of what kind of a design, especially the logo design, the first part, a client would need or would be happy to have one?
Yeah, sure. So with logos, we ask a lot of questions. So we're asking everything from, what's your vision? What's your goals? You know, what do you think your brand is? What do you want your brand to be? I've always kind of teeter-tottered on, do we ask too many questions or do we ask not enough questions? Because I feel like we're constantly trying to get to the core of someone's vision. So that way we can communicate it with impact on a logo.
Yeah, because logo is very tricky, to be honest, because you could make the best logo, but client may not even like that because design
that's
is
the story of our life.
Yeah. So besides the structure of the logo,
yeah,
color is the second most important part. So how do you decide on the color palette of the logo that you're going to design?
So it's everything from, does it feel good, to what is your industry? If everybody's using blue, maybe we don't use blue. And then we also will use, you know, basic color theory that we learned in school, like, hey, red, certain shades of red looks terrible with blue and, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, color is super important, but also we like to make sure that it feels good, and that it resonates with you and with anybody looking at it.
So which software do you use to make logo design?
I love a pen and paper, and then I will also do that first. So I'll do, I don't know, hundreds of thumbnails, and then I will go into Adobe Illustrator and start crafting it.
And is the logo design your responsibility or your wife's responsibility? Who takes the lead there?
So usually I'll kind of get stuff started, but we definitely will be collaborating from the start. She is an amazing trained illustrator. So, I'll give her some of my paltry thumbnails and she'll be like, oh, I like that idea. Here, let me show you this a little bit better. So it's kind of an organic process and I kind of like keeping it that way, to be honest.
So you've got a basic information, like we'll design this kind of a logo, but while you contract a new client, how do you explicitly define the number of design revisions and keeping the expectations under the contracted budget? Because you can't have unlimited design revisions, right? Because there would be an odd client who will just dance on your head.
I get danced on my head all the time. we try to, again, it's more about front loading. We try to have really clear conversations from the start. And we say like, hey, this is how we design a logo. We do 4 rounds max. First round is concepts. We try to meet in person and go over things. We usually kind of nail it at that point or get very close. And then the next couple rounds are just little revisions. You know how clients like to dance on your head with just little stuff. And then the final round is exporting out everything.
And when you are doing logo plus website design and development, do you package the whole thing as one or do you still keep the pricing and the contractual stuff separately? Like first we'll do the logo design, get paid, and then move to the website design. How do you handle that part?
Yeah. So before we've usually kind of put stuff together as one, and I found, I don't know, for us, it didn't work too well. So we do treat them as different jobs. Mm-hmm. We may still do an agreement that has, you know, both jobs on them, but we'll kind of bill them separately. I found that it actually helps sometimes with the client to concentrate on one job at a time, because sometimes when it's melded together, or at least it seems like it's melded together, the client's like, yeah, but how is this going to look on the website, this and that? I'm like, hey, listen, the website's not the only place your logo is going to be. Let's just concentrate on this and we'll make it work on the website super good, you know? So I've felt by mentally saying, hey, this is a separate job, it's helped with focus on that.
And what is the delivery aspect once the logo is done? Like, how do you deliver? In which formats? Do you provide the original PSD Adobe Illustrator files to the client, or just the final logo in PNG or SVG?
Yeah, so we actually develop alternate portions of the logo. So we'll have like a main mark, right? But it's got to look different in square format, in horizontal, everything. So we'll go through and we'll actually develop different versions of a logo. So white on black, black on white, color versions and all that. And then we'll export out AI, EPS, SVG, PNG, and JPEG. Usually PNG and JPEG is for like social media or for print. And we'll just kind of export out a really huge size for them to use for print. And then, yeah, we found it's also tough because you don't want to overload a client with all these files and they're like, I don't know what SVG is. But I found that if they need to go a different direction with a different designer, that if we're setting the future designer up with the files, it's a good practice.
And I'm sure you're using SVG for putting logo on the websites.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Well, I'm still lazy on that part. I'm still stuck with PNG, but
SVGs are so easy. You can put them in as HTML or just as in a module in Beaver Builder. It's so easy.
Yeah. So you've done the logo design. Now we've taken an example of a person who will get the logo design, website design, and website developed. So the logo design is done. The second part is starting with the website design and development. Mm-hmm. But the most problematic part in this whole mix is getting content. Now, at what stage do you get the content for your website in this mix of designing a logo, website design, and development? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we're doing like a logo on a web, actually, as we're doing the logo, we will tell the client, start submitting content, start thinking about and getting the content done. We truly, in an ideal dream world, we love designing with content because I know it's a dream, right?
Same here. I just don't design a layout if client doesn't give the original content, because the design is so much more refined with original content as compared to adding that lorem ipsum.
Yeah. And the thing is, so when I was working at design agency in San Francisco, we used to always do ipsum lorem, right? Because a client had a fast deadline. We needed to get a high quality design for them to look at, until one day we did it with actual content and it was one of the better designs that we did. And I came to realize, like, yeah, it's going to be problematic. It's going to take a while for the client to do all that, because honestly, let's be real, it's hard, right? It's hard if you're someone trying to even just write content for your own site to front load all that. That's hard. So we try to give clients a little grace, like, hey, this is going to be a little bit of a hard portion of this design process with us, but it's going to be so worth it if you can take your time and but also craft something really good.
And which tool do you use to get content from the client, like same Gravity Forms, or you use some third party tool?
So we've kind of experimented. So we've used things like Asana, which is what we use for project management, or Trello, or a new tool actually we found, ClickUp, which is pretty awesome. But we also have tried Dropbox Paper because it's a little bit on the collaborative side. So if a client, will submit like an essay, right, we can kind of comment on the actual document saying, like, let's try to, tighten this up a little bit. Do you think you need this paragraph? You know, whatever. But we found that Dropbox Paper is pretty awesome because the collaborative aspect, if you're working with a particular client that will utilize it, it's pretty awesome. It's nice.
Okay. And if the client is not ready with the content and say, okay, do with the dummy content and I'll get you the content later on, do you pause the project or you proceed with the dummy content?
I'll definitely have a conversation with them. I think it's worth it to talk with them and ask, do they have an idea of how much content they need? Because I also realize that sometimes, there's a client just may not may not be able to have the time to do it, but they understand what needs to be on the page. And if we get it, if we trust that, okay, that's truly what's happening, we'll design with some dummy content.
And in case the client says, I have no idea, can you hire someone for me? Like, do you also do content writing, or you have like subcontracted people who you would pass on with the writing job?
Yeah, we have a couple people that are partnered with us that we trust with content writing. So we would definitely, you know, reach out to them and start that process.
Okay, so text part is done. The other major part of the content is images. Now, I'm not talking about the blog images. I'm just talking about the vanity images that you use on like homepage, about pages and all that.
Yeah.
So how do you communicate and, you know, figure out what type of images, from what would be the source of that imagery with the client?
Yeah, so we usually try to talk about that right from the start. And we're kind of in a unique position because we offer custom illustrations, we can do custom icons, you know, all that kind of stuff. And we try to, I think, push a client to want to do that because it's going to set them apart from their competition right away. And also we're just going to have a lot of fun and it's going to be great. And I think when we're having fun doing fun work, it really shows in the design. But if they, you know, don't have the budget for that, we will use stock, and we'll also try to develop maybe some custom iconography as well. Because we still want to push for what our clients to have a design language on their site. Like, you go to one of our sites that we've done, it's like, oh, I can tell that it seems like it has a little bit more polish than others. So, yeah.
Yeah, illustrations are very hot these days. Like, a lot of people are using it. But unfortunately, if you want to buy stock illustrations, we don't have many sources if you compare it with stock photos. And they are not that good either. Like, most of them are not.
Yeah. And I've noticed that with stock illustrations, and I don't mean to bash other people at all, but I've noticed it's a little on the generic side and may not communicate clients' vision too well. But we usually use, if the budget is extremely limited, We'll definitely use things like Unsplash, Pexels, you know, things like that. Or in the past, what we've done is we've tried to kind of build in a photo shoot that, because we'll also handle a photo shoot and kind of build it in to the actual contract or whatever.
Okay, so the logo is done. The content is there. The big thing, how do you proceed with the website design building?
Oh, yeah. So I have done it many different ways. I'm more of a sort of, I like to try different methods for a bit and see if it works. So before, it was all about, you know, going into Photoshop and making your 4,000 pixel long homepage, right? And then Sketch came along.
And then search for the layers, you know, oh man, I didn't rename the layer. Oh, this layer went there. Locking layers.
And then try to use, what is it called? I think it was called snapshots. And then you try to show a client all these snapshots. And then Envision prototype came along and I started using that. That was awesome. It's good for desktop. And then for a while, I did browser only, browser first. And what I would do is I would create sort of an atomic system with Illustrator. And then I would go into the browser and apply that design system and just come up with layouts.
Okay.
Now I'm finding, to be honest, I'm going right back to just designing an Illustrator and getting my look and feel, getting some design blocks done, and then rolling it out to the website. I've found works really well.
Cool, because I used to design in Photoshop for so many years, but the last 2 years, it's direct cowboy kind of design. You know, just make it in the web browser, take a screenshot, send the screenshot, never share your real URL with the client because that was like, oh man, the website is ready. No, it's not.
I don't know. I've actually found that sharing it live actually makes the process go easier, to be honest.
Yeah. I prefer to share it live, like on the second revision, not on the first revision, because it's like, because I generally do a homepage design and an inner page design and then send it for the first review to give the client sense of design direction. Do you do the same? Like, do you design the homepage and inner page first, or?
Yeah, so it kind of comes down to our conversation with the client to figure out what their priorities are.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be pretty standard to do homepage and interpage, but what we found is that, at least from our experience and the clients that we've been working with, is that if a client likes a homepage, no matter how garbage the interpage is, they're going to go with that direction. So I've always figured, why not just focus on navigation, footer, and homepage? Get actually more mobile work done right off the bat. And the client's going to, if they resonate with the homepage, they're going to go with it anyway. And then we have a lot of work done already for mobile. So I just found by eliminating the interpage most of the time, we've actually designed a little bit better site right off the bat. And the client's still just as happy.
And when you design the thing, like, do you design the desktop layout, or you also give the tablet and mobile layout design, or just the desktop and the mobile or tablet will come later?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I've been thinking about that because I've tried it many different ways. You know, mobile first is all the rage, right?
It doesn't work in practical sense, right? Because when you are dealing with clients, they will check the website or the design right. That you send on a desktop or at max on laptop. They would rarely check on mobile. So,
and also the tool that we use, Beaver Builder, you can't build on mobile. You can't. You always have to build on desktop.
Yeah. Obviously, whatever you build, it would be mobile responsive by default, but right. Then there are minor adjustments that you have to do it. So yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, with that said, though, mm-hmm. So for me, it's whatever I'm feeling. So if I feel that the client is extremely story-driven,
mm-hmm.
for me, story equals desktop, and mobile equals consumption, but not necessarily, you're not going to be able to tell that story with as much breadth as on desktop. So depending on the client, I will most likely start on desktop because that's the full picture and the full story you're telling on the website. And then, but at the same time, I'm always thinking of, okay, if I design this thing this way, how is it going to stack? How is it going to be served up to somebody on mobile? So it's always on the front of my mind. And sometimes I will even, if I do a static desktop, mm-hmm. you know, an Illustrator, I'll just pick a super small size and redesign it at like 320, even though that's super small. But I mean, if we can get it looking really good, super small, it's going to scale up. I've found really well.
So when you offer these website building design and development services, like, let's take the one-page website out and focus on the multi-page websites. Like, how do you offer these packages? Like, one homepage plus 5 pages, one homepage plus 10 pages? Like, how do you decide on how many pages a client would need? Because a client would not know about these technical stuff and the price points that you work on depending on number of pages.
Right. So again, it kind of comes down to that original kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That we're having with the client. So even in some of our questionnaires, we've tried to make it to where, so instead of saying how many pages do you want, we actually list out the most common pages and have them just choose, like, oh yeah, I'm going to need an about page. Oh yeah, I need a contact page. And then we have a conversation of like, so you're going to need a history page. Do you need a blog? You know, we're trying to kind of develop the scope as we're going along in the process. So when it comes down to quote time, the quote kind of comes down to, this is what you want. Would you like this quote with illustration? Would you like, you know, so it's almost like we've developed the scope to be already there in the quote, if that makes sense.
Okay. Now this question that I'm going to ask you, most probably you've faced this question. Now mm-hmm. a client comes to you and he shows his competitor website. Hey, can you build me a website exactly like that? How do you get about and say, no, we can build a better one?
No, I don't know. To be honest, I tackle it like, why? I'm asking why. Why do you want to do this? Like, how is your competitor's website lining up with your goals? Because to be honest, I think there is some validity to what the client is saying. The client is saying, my competitor is kicking butt and I want to kick butt as well.
Yeah.
So what I'm basically asking is, that's great. We're not going to do that same exact website, but Like, how do you really want to kick butt? Like, what's going on here? So I think we tackle it that way. And we found that, you know, we get a conversation, and what it really is, it's like, no, their competitor's website is meeting their goals. That's really what it is. And whether we make it better or not, I don't know. It's so subjective, right? We're going to try to meet your goals the way you want them to be met.
And the another classic question, where is my image slider?
Oh my goodness, the old image slider.
You know, these questions still pop in.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's a tough one because I understand what it's about, right? They want to show all their bits of information in that 2-second block that you know that nobody's going to read. Like, I get it. So again, it's just a conversation and we try to figure out, okay, I understand you want the slider because everyone else has it. But what are you really trying to communicate? What are you really trying to accomplish? And then we figure out, maybe we do a slider with 2 slides and they're like 10 seconds apart. You know, we're just trying to figure out like, how can we meet your needs? Because from a client's perspective, I think they only know what they want because they see what everybody else has. And so they go, oh, that's what I want. Okay, totally valid. Let's try to figure out what you actually need though.
Okay, and where does SEO fit in when you design and develop a website? Like, do you, you know, focus on the search engine aspect or, you know, website optimization or easy consumption of content when you design a layout, which moves on to the development stage later on?
Right. So we're not SEO experts. And we are very upfront with that with when we're talking with people. We know how to set things up on a basic level. So, you know, set up titles, image tags, all that stuff, ping Google, set it up in Google Search Console. We offer that as a service because we found that even with basic stuff, nobody's going to really do that. Mm-hmm. So we do offer that up. And then we will say like, we try to help with when they're writing content, make sure it's very clear and concise, but also not tailored for search engines, but tailored for your customer. And because Google is, when they're searching your site, they want to make sure it's relevant to what somebody else is searching for. So, just be clear and concise, and it's going to work itself out with SEO, I think, anyway.
So you basically do the design and development, keeping the user experience and user interface rather than SEO, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm not discounting SEO. It's more of, I think if something is clearly well laid out and well on point to what somebody's writing about, I think the SEO is going to be like, Google's going to reward that. I feel like.
Yep. So logo is done. Website is designed. It developed. So before you ship the website and send it to the live server, do you have any website testing and quality check routines that you perform?
Yeah, for sure. So I have like old devices lying around that I like to test on just to make sure. I'll use emulators. Another tool that I use and love is MicroThemer. So MicroThemer has its own sort of breakpoints that you can set up. For me, that's super valuable because it's like setting up the media queries right away in a visual way. Mm-hmm. And then we'll use, you know, whatever project management system we'll use, we'll block out basically like probably a week or two of just testing, setting up tickets for our client to review and for them to go ahead and submit. And then, yeah, we try our hardest to make it look good on all 1,000 devices that are out there.
Yeah, there's a tool called Browser Stack, I think.
Yeah, I've used that.
Yeah, a lot of people use that as well.
So the only thing with Browser Stack is it's awesome, but I'll get lost because now I want to check what it looks like on Internet Explorer 5 from 1995. And I'm like, oh no, I can't do this.
But, you know, a lot of agencies have this thing in their contract. Even I've been following it. Like once we make a website for you, it is expected to run fine in the latest version and the one previous version of Internet Explorer, Google Chrome, Firefox. And nowadays people don't even mention Safari because Safari also is like getting, I think it is getting a new tag of new age Internet Explorer because it is like a pain point. Sometimes it doesn't look good in Safari.
It's such a shame because the Safari user interface is so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so minimal. It's wonderful. I don't know what, so I, as a quick story. So, when I used to work with developers, he went to a conference, and so you had Mozilla, you had Chrome, everybody was there at their little booths. The Safari booth where Apple was supposed to be completely empty. And that was like 2 years ago. So I don't know if that's any indication of Apple's dedication to Safari, but Safari might be the new Internet Explorer.
I don't know. I just read it somewhere. So I just mentioned it.
I don't want to spread rumors. I don't want to spread rumors.
Yeah, I don't want to pin Apple down on certain things. They have, they've got a lot of money. They can sue me. But
they're a trillion-dollar company now, man.
Yeah, but you can't deny this fact that they are more focused on getting their iPhones right rather than their Mac ecosystem right. They've been ignoring Mac for quite some time now. So
I don't, it's felt like it a little bit.
Yeah, so you've made the website live. I'm sure some clients will say, wow, this is the best website and, you know, great job.
Thank you for four sliders on top of each other.
Appreciate it. And guess what? You got a testimonial. I'll just make a video out of it. But there will be certain clients, oh man, this is not what I expected. This doesn't look like competitor website, because there will be all kinds of feedback you will get from different clients. So, because design is a very subjective thing, you know, even though you have been in constant touch with a client, okay, this is how the things are moving, the end result, certain clients may not find it, you know, as per their expectations. So how do you balance clients' expectations and the design that you're doing plus the development, not just in the initial stage, but after, like, you've done the work and made the website live, how do you deal with people who are saying it's not good enough?
I haven't run into that a lot, and this is not, I'm really honestly saying that in a humble way. Like, I've run into it a few times. It usually is a matter of, I need to have a conversation, but from the perspective of, let me understand what it is that's falling short for you. What goal is not being met in the design? So I think it's just a matter of conversation, trying to come to terms with, hey, the client wants a picture of their cat as a mascot on the website. You know, is it worth it to say no to the client and put your foot down, or is it worth it to try to make it work? It's just a decision of, what's your relationship with the client? How much equity do you have, like social equity with them, that they trust you? There's just so much to it, and to make those kind of decisions. Usually, when we've had those really difficult things, after we've had a conversation, we've kind of found out, like, they just didn't like this button down in the corner, and it threw off everything. Like, you know what I mean? It's just something really simple, and it's fine. But if we don't have that conversation, we won't know, oh, okay, let's just take that button out. Now, all of a sudden, magically, the website is, like, accomplishing the goals, right? It's just, I guess, to answer your question, it's worth it to have a real in-depth conversation to truly understand their perspective.
Okay. So now let's talk about website design trends. Now, every like 2-3 years, you know, everyone is following certain type of design trends. Like there, like a few years ago, like people were just making minimal designs, all white. Mm-hmm. Just using white space to make the design shine. And now if you see, people are going full width with big images, even gradients are making a comeback, but then now gradients are more refined. They look beautiful. Yep. So what upcoming design trends have you noticed and have you used in like recent projects?
Yeah. So definitely, you know, I'm just remembering when I first opened up Spotify, when they kind of rebranded with all the duotones and everything. And I was like, yeah, I want my website to have duotones everywhere. I love it. So the design trends I'm finding is like, drop shadows are definitely back. They're super in, but different colored drop shadows.
And different types of, they are not like harsh drop shadows. Yeah. They are like subtle and they are like expansive. Like previously we had like more of a, you know, rough, thick shadow type of effect. Yep, they are coming back.
Yeah, and what you said right there, subtle, I think subtleties is where things are going. So subtleties in the design, so like white on white, but with drop shadow, you know, things like that. Like even I'm noticing a lot, like everybody's doing illustration. Definitely illustration is on the uptick for sure. And then what I think it's not even going to be a trend, I think it's going to be something that's going to set you apart is animation and movement.
Yeah.
Animation and movement is, I think, because, you know, everybody's talking about like frameworks and themes and all that. And I just don't think it's going to matter. I think what's going to matter is the experience that somebody's getting. And I think movement, interaction, and animation is just, that's it. That's going to be the future.
And that is what, where I'm coming from my next question. Like SVG is getting very popular, and I think these animated images are in SVG format.
Yeah.
I'm talking because I am SVG infant, so I really don't know much about it. Like I've used SVG images, but I've not made those, you know, fancy animated SVG images. So for a newbie like me or anyone listening, what would be your advice for learning designing SVG logos and maybe animating them further down the line to have that extra fanciness?
Right. So yeah, I'll just speak from my perspective and even the path that I'm currently on.
Mm-hmm.
So learn CSS, every aspect of it, and then learn at keyframes, CSS animation.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much you can do with just CSS. Like right now I'm working on a couple improvements on our website, and it's in staging right now. And I'm like animating this whole illustration just by setting up the SVG code and then animating it with CSS selectors and at keyframes. And I'm like, this is, my mind's being blown right now. This is awesome. So I would learn that. I would learn, it doesn't take that much, but learn how to set up your SVG code.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to make it way easier if you're selecting it with CSS. And then, so the current path that I'm on is I'm trying to learn JavaScript big time, because it's going to help me be a better developer,
mm-hmm.
but also it's going to give you that extra layer of interaction, movement, and animation. And if you really want to, you know, animate your SVGs like next level, try to learn JavaScript and then get into GreenSock. So GreenSock is like kind of like a framework for animation.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing. So if you can kind of wrap your head around all that, I think you're going to have, like, once you learn all that and you start digging in there, you're going to have so much fun animating stuff. It's just going to be great.
So can you give a little overview of like which software programs do you use, or one can, you know, besides the one you just mentioned?
Yeah.
One can use to, you know, get started with learning or in fact designing SVG logos and even animating them.
So as far as designing them, yeah, I use just Adobe Illustrator.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people have said that Sketch outputs better SVG code.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I use the tool that I'm good at, and then I adjust the SVG code afterwards. There's also what's its name? SVG Go or something. It's a website that you essentially upload your SVG, and then it basically in a way cleans up the code, and then mm-hmm. you can re-download the SVG and it's super clean. Another tool that I've used in the past is it's a online web app called SVG Gator. And basically it's basically like Adobe After Effects on a web app.
Mm-hmm.
The only downfall and why I stopped using it is it has a limit of the size of the SVG you can use. So for me, I want to animate like hero images, right? So they're big, they're huge.
Yeah.
I need to be able to do that with CSS or JavaScript. So to me, I mean, again, with the software, create it with Illustrator or whatever vector program you feel comfortable with, and then mm-hmm. just take a shot at it with using CSS and at keyframes. Just go there, do it.
Cool. And I believe all the development that you do as of now uses Beaver Builder, right?
That is correct, 100%.
Beaver Builder theme plugin. And
yeah, so I've tried many other themes, and I won't name them. Well, I don't know. I've found that there's a lot of hype around themes, and yeah. I've found that the Beaver Builder theme
People get touchy about, you know, you said bad thing about my favorite theme.
I don't want to say anything bad. I don't want to point any things. So for me, and this is just my perspective, I've found that the Beaver Builder theme is extremely simple, and that's what I like. So I kind of don't like going into Customizer. I like doing everything with Beaver Themer. I like setting up using Beaver Themer for pretty much everything, like footers, navigation.
Same here. Yeah. That's my development stack, you know. Beaver Theme, Beaver Builder plugin, Beaver Themer. On certain sites, there's Power Pack or Ultimate Beaver, depending, because I work with different agencies. Some agencies have Power Pack in this, you know, development stack, some don't. So Themer is amazing.
I was just going to say, once Themer came out and I first got introduced to it, I was like, I legit said, oh my gosh, I can make my own navigation. I can make like a mobile navigation that has, you know, a button and a search icon. I'm in. Let's go. Let's do this.
Yeah, you are out of the jail. You know, I can do anything. Because that's actually true. Because prior to Themer, you could make any design for a static page. But things get, you know, difficult when you are going to do the blog page or the single blog post page, or you've got custom fields and you've got to present that data in a nice manner. Then you open the PHP file, you know, make an archive file, make a single page. And then you wonder, like, I've been doing drag and drop for all kinds of pages. What happened in this part of the website? So
why can't I do a drag and drop for my navigation? Doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Themer is just amazing. So talking about tools, let's talk about your toolbox. Like, what are your current five favorite tools that power your online business?
And when you say power your online business, do you mean like project management, or do you just mean even creation as well?
Everything, like how you manage, how you create, how you even use tools on making websites. Like I know that part, like Beaver Builder, but I'm sure you are using other tools as well.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So from our business, we use 17 Hats. That's sort of our CRM, if we will. So we do contracts, we do invoices, all that. We've tried other ones. I won't name any names. That just
you are playing very safe.
I'm just trying to be a safe guy. You know, I don't want to get you in trouble.
Because I was going to make a sub headline. You know, this guy doesn't like this theme. Come out.
So we've tried other things, and for me, it just 17 Hats is not as beautiful looking UI wise as some other things, but it works super well.
Well, that's a designer talking.
I know. It just works for us super well. So we've used that. So other tools, gosh, let me think.
WordPress. So,
yeah, WordPress. Yeah, sure. WordPress is great. And then another tool that I've found that really, really helped me is MicroThemer. And the reason MicroThemer helped me is because it was visual. Now, yes, obviously you can find a CSS selector and write it up and everything, but I want to visually see it. You know, if I'm using Beaver Builder, why can't I use the same principle with my CSS?
Yeah, I've been seeing that MicroThemer demo in your videos. Like, you've been using that. It's kind of handy.
Yeah, and what I've even been getting into is that there's just a little switch. It's called Code Editor.
Okay.
And basically, it opens up the style sheet as if it's not one particular thing. So I'm writing at keyframes within MicroThemer. Mm-hmm. And then as I'm doing that, I can see the animation and how it's being affected right away. So for me, MicroThemer just makes it to where I don't need to hop around into text editor and all that. So the other tool, let's see.
What about design tools besides Adobe Illustrator? Like, which all design tools that you use?
So, pretty much Adobe Illustrator. So I've tried a lot of other design tools. You know, I've mentioned Sketch, and Sketch is awesome. I've just found that my style is a little bit, like, I'm always trying to create illustrative elements, and I just can't do that in Sketch. Like, I can't create a layout and then also create an icon. Like, it's just not, at least with my style. Mm-hmm. So for me, Illustrator makes it to where I'm creating layout And then I'm also not breaking my creative flow by going into a different program to create illustrations or whatnot, if that makes sense. So yeah, I wish I had another tool I could say. Oh yeah, I got one. So for creating mockups.
Okay.
So a tool that I've actually found that's super awesome is Artboard Studio. It's a new program. It's a web app. I'll go ahead and give you a link to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is awesome. You can set up different sizes for your canvas. So you could set up a social media site.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have different like elements that you can drag on the screen, or you can do custom made templates already. And the thing that's really cool is like, it's really easy to use. You literally click on an element, load your image, and you're done. Then you can export it.
Have you used Affinity Designer?
Yeah, I love Affinity Designer. I just haven't got good enough at it to make it to where it's as fluid as Illustrator.
Does that replace Illustrator or Photoshop?
Right, that's a great conversation. I've been trying to figure out how to get off the...
I'm a little confused about that, but I'm yet to jump into that area. Right. Like, I'm still like Photoshop user. I've found my comfort zone there using it for many years, but Affinity products look very attractive and you don't have to pay per month price. Like, it's just one off price. So
that's the thing. I've been trying to figure out, how do I get off the Adobe CC drip, right?
So many people are trying to figure out. They just jack up prices for every year and you have a bill every month to pay.
So if you look at it, so I'm paying $50 a month, right? I think that's what I'm paying. I don't even know. Probably whatever. And Affinity Designer costs $50 for a lifetime.
Yeah.
So my shortcoming is, why am I not taking the time to learn it as good as Illustrator? And I don't know. It's because I'm on that Adobe. I need my next hit of Adobe. I just can't stop using Illustrator.
Because what I've heard, like, Affinity Photo equals Adobe Photoshop. And
it's really good.
Affinity Designer is something that you can do with whatever in Illustrator. So
yeah, it's actually Affinity Designer. Think of Sketch and Illustrator together.
Cool. So besides, you know, designing, developing websites, do you also take those clients on maintenance?
Yeah, we set up a maintenance. So we basically offer like, it's pretty basic. There's a lot of people who use, I think, services like Blog Vault and stuff like that, where that's like super, super high intensity security and whatnot. We offer a basic service of, we will update your site whenever there's updates. We will back up your site daily. Mm-hmm. We will monitor your site. We will use security on it, you know, the basic stuff. We found that as long as that stuff is happening, Russian hackers won't come and hack your site.
Oh, don't name it, man.
Oh, sorry. Hackers. Sorry. Just hackers.
I've got my subtitle. Just wait and watch now.
Okay. So, but we found that if things are up to date and you have a security plugin running, you're probably going to be fine.
Which web hosting do you use, like, for those people who are on your maintenance plan?
So we try to get them to use, we use SiteGround. We like SiteGround, but we also will push them maybe to like WP Engine, since it's like one site. It's hard, because I don't think, at least from our experience, that a lot of people truly value hosting. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
So it's really hard to be like, well, why should I pay $25 a month?
Yeah, WP Engine is expensive. It's expensive, period.
Yeah, but it's really good.
In fact, it saves you so much time if you have a website on WP Engine vis-a-vis on a standard cheap hosting thing, you know.
Yeah.
You can just recover your site in one click. Yeah. You know, you can do so many things on WP Engine. I guess you get what you pay for, right?
Yeah, and it's just hard to have that conversation and try to push them to go towards it. So a lot of times what happens is they will have their hosting and I will hook it into the tool that I use to back it up and to make sure it's all updated.
So your maintenance package include and exclude, you have both kinds of maintenance package where you host websites for clients and where you do not host.
Right. Yep. Because most of the time we found that, a client is spending a lot on the design services, mm-hmm. and they feel like, well, web hosting is just secondary, so we're just going to go to Bluehost or, oh, sorry, I don't mean to name names.
No, we're just going to go. You can name it Bluehost, GoDaddy, HostGator.
So they're just going to go there. So honestly, like, I know everybody wants to have the best things, right? I guess my attitude is I'm going to try to do the best for what you're giving me to work with. So if you're going to give me Bluehost to work with, I'm going to back it up every day. I will update your plugins. I will monitor your site for uptime. I will put a layer of security on it. But at the end of the day, you have Bluehost and you're paying $2.99 a month.
Well, so, I have like few companies blacklisted. If you are using that hosting, please. You cannot be my client. Because, you know, because if you're dealing with those kind of websites, you are actually spending two or three times more time in getting the stuff done, even maintaining, even logging on. Right. You know, it gets frustrating sometime when you're working with these kind of, you know, web hosting companies, but then everyone has their own business model. So,
you're totally right. 100%. But at the same time, I guess we're trying to meet the client where they are, you know?
And what are your price points for maintenance packages? Like,
so we do, basically we have a maintenance package that's $15 a month. And it also includes website optimization, like speed-wise. And then you get a monthly report as well as to what has been done on the site. And you can log into your website and see who tried to hack into your site and that we blocked it.
Do you use Managed WP?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is about the hosting part. Now let's shift back to the building part. Your favorite page builder, I already know it's Beaver Builder. Who is the second best? Or who is on the hit list? You've got to name it here.
So I've used other ones and I just haven't connected with them. I'll put it that way.
Or you tried to publish the page, it didn't publish, right?
Well, or just... or just why did I drag this on and nothing happened, or just things like that. Beaver Builder, I'm just going to leave it at this. Beaver Builder works for me because it allows me to build without any interruptions. It allows me to creatively keep going.
Same here. Yeah. That's my tool set, actually. Even though Beaver Builder cost me like twice what second, third number would cost me, but actually it saves me more time compared to, you know, I've built so many sites with Beaver Builder. Not a single site has broken.
Same here.
Or taken my time on the next update of either the Beaver Builder plugin or the WordPress update. And if you compare it, not just with Page Builder, just normal plugins, sites do break when you update WordPress or plugins. But with Beaver Builder, I've been very lucky. I don't know. Maybe it's like the stable thing. Again, the whole argument, you get what you pay for, right?
Yeah. Well, and the one thing I also noticed too, so I started using, I don't want to open a can of worms, but Gutenberg. And I logged in one day and Gutenberg updated, right? And then I tried to add a new page and I just got a white screen. And I was like, okay, I'm going to uninstall Gutenberg. And then the next day, Beaver Builder had an update. And I thought, see, that's awesome right there, right? That's cool. That's good.
So the moral of the story is
you used
Gutenberg on the one day, but you didn't use Gutenberg on the second day. Now that's
not, I haven't used it since.
Well, you are not alone. There are so many frustrated people out there.
It's all good. I mean, that's a whole different conversation in itself, right?
But I don't take pressure of Gutenberg, to be honest, because I live in the Beaver Builder world. And if you're building your site in a Beaver Builder, and that part ecosystem is completely different from Gutenberg, and Gutenberg would not invade it in any, at least not in the near future.
Well, and so the interesting thing, I'll just touch upon it really quick. I think you can actually use Gutenberg really well with Beaver Builder. And the way you do it is you just say, Gutenberg, you only handle posts. Do not handle anything else. Stay away from the rest of the site. I think it works good because I personally don't like TinyMC, but I think posting a post with Gutenberg is a lot more funner, but what do I know?
I'm trying to think, like, if you've made a single post layout in Beaver Themer, then all the Gutenberg fanciness would stay in the post editor, you know, yep. where we have used the themer post editor module, right?
Yep. Yep. Literally, that's all you're doing. You're containing Gutenberg within a Beaver Builder module.
Yeah, because a lot of people are comparing Gutenberg with a lot of other page builders, but I think the basic argument is like Gutenberg works in a post editor, whereas a page builder works everywhere. So it's like comparing apples with oranges, but guess what? Everyone is comparing. Everyone is.
I always thought it was weird that Gutenberg was just not started out just for posts. Like they're trying to make it to where it's going to take over your site. And it's like, okay, I don't know.
It would eventually, if not now, probably in 2-3 years. But then by the time they will catch up with something like Beaver Builder, Beaver Builder would have moved on few more places ahead.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There are a few interesting features coming up in Beaver Builder. Let's see. The new versions is exciting. So
besides, I'm really excited.
Yeah, even, you know, you don't need to add additional plugins for Beaver Builder, more fanciness, and even you don't need to add more CSS to have that additional fancy stuff.
So, yeah, the thing I know it's super minimal, but the thing I'm super looking forward to is the different units. So viewport width, viewport height units, percentage, M's. I mean, to me, that's everything.
Yeah. Right? And full width layout becomes more easy to control, especially when you have like, it's like very big trouble when you have like two columns full width, one is image, one is text. The text will just stretch so much. And I normally would use CSS and use max width to control it. But when the new version comes out, you don't need to do that. You can just set the percentage there.
So I'm in.
That's the interesting part. So besides the page builder stuff, like, do you use any email marketing service?
So marketing is sort of, that's something that we're trying to learn. It's really hard, for us because we just want to create stuff. I don't want to tell you about it, but, I need to tell you about it because, or else you won't know.
Believe me, you are not alone.
we do use MailChimp. MailChimp has worked pretty good.
Yeah.
I've kind of figured out a hack to create a MailChimp email template and then use it in 17 hats. So it's pretty fun because it's just all MailChimp does is export out HTML. So it's great.
I thought you were going to say, I've just figured out a hack how to use MailChimp for free for more than 2000 content.
No. I wish. Well, I don't wish. No, sorry. I don't want to take anything for free away from a company. I just want to say that the vendor does not think it's okay to hack MailChimp. I just want to throw that out there.
I don't want MailChimp to get hacked. Even I use MailChimp, though I am most likely to gonna jump to ConvertKit very soon. So.
Oh yeah, I've heard a lot of people using that.
Yeah, because I do more things than just website design and development. So, any other marketing tool that you use?
I use Flume. It's a Instagram client. I like it. It's not really marketing, though. No, not really. I mean, that's something that definitely is, I think, one of our weak spots.
Okay, now I'll ask you one last question, which is kind of painful for all kind of business owners.
Oh, I love the painful questions. Let's go.
Well, let's see how painful it is for you. How do you get new clients, or how do you make sure that, you know, you have the constant flow of clients? There's no too much drought going on in the business, right? Because
So I got to go all of a sudden. No, I'm just kidding. That's a fantastic question, and it's something that we're learning. So, one thing that I'm learning is how to connect with people on an authentic level. So, like, even from just sharing the Can It Be Done with Beaver Builder videos, it's opened up, I think, opportunities to genuinely talk with people.
Yeah, I'm talking to you just because of that, to be honest. I did not know who was Tim. What did you do? Actually, I didn't know about your website, Tiki Boom, because every few months when I log into your website, it had a new design. So,
come on, man. Let's not talk about that. That's one thing. Okay, that's one thing that my wife, Nikki, she completely always talks to me about, like, just because you can design a site doesn't mean you need to redesign it every 6 months. I'm like, I'm just trying to figure out what to do.
And I'll think, this guy does design faster than me. You know, I actually, I had this habit, like, maybe 5-6 years ago. Mm. But then I made a commitment to myself.
Yeah.
Keep one design at least for 1 year. And then, yep. So let's come back to your pain point.
Okay. So I think part of that as I'm learning is, I think just sharing knowledge is mm-hmm. really important. I think not just if you have the mentality, like I'm going to share knowledge so I get jobs, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
You need to share knowledge because you genuinely want to help people. And I genuinely do. Like, I genuinely want somebody to be better at Beaver Builder. Like, I genuinely want somebody to be better at CSS and use it with Beaver Builder to make amazing sites. Because at the end of the day, I don't want the web to be a trash fire. I want it to be awesome. So by sharing knowledge, by genuinely trying to just chat and connect with people, I've got a few connections, got a few jobs that way. We've been fortunate to have word of mouth. And I think I'm just going to share this to tell you what's not a thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rely on that and not do any marketing or advertising at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's something that we didn't do. So we definitely depended on word of mouth, and we thought, oh, we're always going to get word of mouth. We're always going to get people referring other people to us. And then we're sitting in a drought going, oh no, we don't have any like marketing momentum. We don't have any advertising things that we've learned because we just neglected that. So all that to say, don't do what we did and pursue that. But at the same time, pursue it in an authentic way. Like genuinely do something that you want to do. Like if that means sharing knowledge, then just do it.
And talking about your clients, like do you mostly serve your local clients, like or only clients from US or other countries as well?
We've done other countries, yes. Uh-huh. And local, actually it's been all over. You got me thinking, yeah, it's been kind of all over, to be honest.
Because I was coming to the next point, like you've talked about the online connections, sharing yeah. value, which is amazing. I've been doing that for so many years now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It has resulted in so much goodness. And
yeah.
Because I don't share, again, coming to your point, I don't share for any specific motive. I just share because right. I want to share, right? Because
right.
that comes naturally. It won't come to everyone, but to whom it will come, he or she will share naturally. Now that was like the online part. Do you yep. also do the marketing or, you know, showing your Tiki Boom, you know, that we do design and development in the offline world, like your local city, meetups, WordCamps?
Yeah. So that's another thing we're trying to figure out, what is fruitful or mm-hmm. what is actually not fruitful in a sense of, do we get jobs right away? It's fruitful of, are we connecting with people and making like genuine relationships? Or is it just like, you know how sometimes meetups are like, I've been to a meetup where it's just hand out your business card. Oh, what do you do? Oh, I do this. Here's my business card. And then it's nothing.
And those business cards goes in a trash can, to be honest.
Yeah. So I think maybe you got me thinking on the spot here. I think I'm so hesitant with doing all these things because I think I truly am looking for something that's a little bit more real. That's a little bit more like me and you were talking, right? Okay. Are we going to continue talking into the future? Are we going to maybe work on a project together or just help each other out in figuring out like, how can I make this site design better? You know, does that make sense? Like I'm a little bit more interested in relationships than handing out my business card. So I think that's been hard to make a choice of what to do, if that makes sense.
Cool, because finding a right client is not an easy job.
And yes.
Because a client that would work for you may not work for me, and client that yeah. would work for me may not work for you, because
right.
it's not just your agency. Every agency has a different, you know, way of working, the way it's set up, and it will appeal differently to different clients. So
yeah,
marketing is very important. And
yeah, I agree.
And guess what? It's a learning process. You can't do a course and, you know, get, you know, better at it. It's just, you have to do it to see if it works for you or not.
Yeah.
Because,
and I think that's the hard thing too, since we're, since I focus on doing the work, it's hard to do the work and also just experiment with advertising campaigns. Cause it's just a matter of, there's only 24 hours in the day, right? So you got to figure out what your goals are.
I can give you one parallel business idea, because I've been looking to buy one, like, which is, you can make a shop for illustrations, you know, you can sell them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Because yeah. I've been looking at a lot of available stuff for, in terms of, you know, pre-packaged illustration packs. There are a few, but I only like two or three of them. Most of them are like, the quality is not there, to be honest.
Mm. But, yeah.
And there's actually market for it. It's just like productizing your service. Like you yeah. using, obviously you got to sell more to make money, but then it will also give you visibility, I guess. Because yeah. I know one person who doesn't sell illustration, who basically has made a website for illustrations, and you mm-hmm. can download those illustrations and for free. It has Ooh. MIT license. That means you don't need to give attribute or right. link back. It's a site called undraw.co.
Oh, yes. I know that site. Yeah.
And guess what? Those illustrations are really good, high quality. Mm-hmm. And they do also provide that option to, you know, change the color and then generate it. Like, it's kind of clever plus smart way of, you know, showing what you can do. And I'm sure that person is getting a lot of work from just that website, because
yeah, I do wonder if they are. That's really interesting,
because I was going to refer that person to someone who was looking for illustration, because I don't do those yeah. are over my head. So,
and it's also, you're touching upon a point that I think it's important, is like trying to find a niche that you feel comfortable and you feel generally like, oh, I want to do that. That's awesome. That's fun. Let's do that.
Yeah, because you can't do everything. Now, if you ask me, I can design, I can develop, but can I make apps or can I make plugins? Right. If you put gun on my head, I can definitely do that. But do I want to do it? No, I don't, because that's not where my interest area is. Just like you said, you don't do SEO. It's not just because you do not know anything about SEO. I'm sure you know a lot about SEO. It's just you don't find that attractive to, you know, be busy or, you know, using your time for that. You love design and development. That's the, because you can't do everything. So,
and I think the thing too is you have to be honest with yourself, because you want to serve your client the best, right? So I don't want to tell my client like, I'm going to do SEO and I don't enjoy it. I want to send them to somebody if they need that higher end SEO, because they're going to get served better. And I think that's what it comes down to too, is like just being honest with yourself, like, yeah, I can do this, but whatever. I don't want to do it.
On that note, let's wrap up this episode. And you've been honest in naming and not naming few people and few services.
I apologize for naming. I did not mean to name names. I'm sorry.
I'm going to edit out the apology part. Don't worry. Okay, Tim, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Devinder. Yeah.
Have a good day.
You too.
You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.